Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Warming up.
Well, that is for sure. I mean, we saw some 50s this week. So I tell you what, it's been hot outside, and that's made a hot real estate market early. So I know we've been saying that the last couple weeks, but we're going to be out of the woods here pretty soon. And this weather has been awesome for home inspections, looking at roofs, getting painting done. I mean, it's no comparison. People have said to me the last two or three weeks, man, Lynch, you are in a good mood. And I said, well, I just compare this January to last January.
Yeah, so much for the, oh, we're going to have another one like last year.
Absolutely. It's been fantastic. Well, we also have with us, making the money end of things work, Mr. Mike Denslow with Home Street, our in-house lending specialist. Mike, how you doing?
I'm the same. I'm loving the weather, and spring hit in January. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, for sure. It has been really, really good. Well, you know, Mike, I had an interesting thing happen this week. Somebody came into the office, and they said, hey, I want you to show me some ranches. And I said, okay, well, I'm a old farm boy, so absolutely, let's pull up some acreage properties and some ranch. And they're like, no. Single-story homes, and they were, which we call ramblers in this section of the country, but they had moved from the east, and many of the areas back there are called single-story homes, ranch style. And so I thought I'd put together, did some research, looked around, and thought I would put together and found an interesting story where Zillow had compiled some, we'll call it, real estate vocabulary. So, McKay and Mike, I'm going to give you guys a couple of these. So, number one, what is a duplex versus a twin home?
Oh, a twin home? I've never even heard that term before.
A twin home is like a townhouse, right?
Ah, McKay, McKay pulls that one out, and that is not a local term around Tri-Cities, too. Like Mike said, I've never even heard that before.
No, that's what you see, like in San Francisco and places where they have a two-story houses that are joined together.
And you're absolutely right. So a duplex is one unit. It's considered one property, one form of ownership on a single lot. Now, a twin home, or as McKay said, a town home, is when each half of the property is two separate lots, and it is a common shared wall that splits right down the middle of the property line. So, Mike, I know you'll run into this sometimes because that can become important in financing.
Oh, absolutely. Duplex financing is completely different than twin home or town home. The question I get all the time is condo versus town home. And town home is where townhouse is where you own the dirt underneath. You have that shared wall. And a condo, you don't own the dirt. You're just owning the inner walls in the inner space. And an HOA kind of takes care of everything else.
Absolutely. And so that can affect financing for sure. The next one on the list is mobile home versus a prefab.
Or manufactured home.
Well,
manufactured homes have to have a concrete foundation, and they're more sturdy.
True. Those are parts of it, for sure. Generally, what happens
is, and they're on their own land.
They don't always have to be, no. But a mobile home can leave the factory. Generally, when it leaves the factory, it's ready to be lived in and then transported to the property. A prefab home is part pieces of the home is built like in a factory.
Two halves, they truck them down the road, back them in, join them together, do the tape and texture and paint.
You're totally wrong. What you're describing is the mobile home. The prefab, for instance, is where they build five or six of the walls in a factory.
Okay.
Then they'll send the walls and the roof system somewhat put together and then erect that on a permanent foundation.
So it's puzzle pieces. Yeah.
It's puzzle pieces versus two pieces that are ready to live
in. Well, we own one, so.
And so that's one that is really interesting. And we don't see in this area too many prefabs. There's the older ones. Many of the ones in Richland
were built.
Some of the alphabet houses were built and assembled that way. And so totally in other parts of the country, that comes into play. And it's really interesting when you see the wiring and stuff. When you do come across a prefab, a lot of the wiring will be ran in the attic on the outside of the walls versus where they would run internally on new construction that you were building. Now, here's one that I had to read up on a little bit. What is a houseboat versus a floating home?
I think a Sleepless in Seattle, but I don't know the difference.
Okay. Well, a houseboat is something that you can move around. A floating home is more tied to.
Dang, this guy.
God, McKay.
Five, six, seven, 8 years of doing this show, man. McKay's picked up some knowledge over there.
We watch a lot of house hunting and tiny house hunting.
Okay, well, shows. Then you are up to speed because that is exactly correct. The houseboat definition comes into play, and that is where it can travel under its own power and be steered much like a boat, similar to think of like an RV, where a floating home is actually tethered to a dock and hooked up to a permanent electrical and sewer connection.
Yes.
So really, really interesting to kind of go through that and look at the vocabulary that different areas use in the real estate world. So
I got a 66%. I got two.
You did.
Three.
I'm going to ask one more because this comes up and people talk about this all the time, is in a lot of these shows that McKay talked about, is the last one was the difference between a mansion and a McMansion. If you've heard the term McMansion.
Well, you were talking about it before the show.
Oh,
so
you're cheating.
I'm reclusing myself.
So interestingly enough, a lot of in a lot of areas, especially areas that do not have as much land as like the Tri-Cities and stuff, you'll see older neighborhoods that had maybe smaller homes or single family homes where they came in, they mow down the 2,000 square foot house and they build a big three-story rectangular box, and they'll just do like four or five of those that all look the same in a row, and they're just big square footage focused boxes, and that's where the name McMansion came
out
from.
I thought it was a fancy McDonald's.
No, well, it came from that reference of just the same hamburger, you know, again and again and again, and so there was kind of a backlash against that.
I've seen a few of those. There's one up on Union near 4th.
So John's calling him out. So there are some in the Tri-Cities. So you're exactly right. Now you know what the McMansion reference is for sure. Well, that was my fill-in instead of my crazy celebrity real estate. When I had that experience earlier this week, it was kind of unfortunate. I got excited about going and looking at ranches for a second or two and then ended up showing a lot of single-story homes. So it still worked out, and we found them a great house, so that's exciting. Another thing that came in this week that I always like to take what's happening in the local real estate market and relate that to our show topic that Mike and I do here. And so this came up earlier this week, and it actually came when we got a testimonial in for our team. And so Chris Cogill, one of our buyer's agents, and Kim Osmondson, just fantastic closing coordinator. The testimonial that came in was from Travis and Melissa, clients of ours, and they said, Chris and Kim from the Kenmore team have been absolutely amazing in helping us navigate the sale of our first home And then, like we talked about on the show, the construction and purchase of our second home. Knowing we had them in our corner to help handle any issues that came up was awesome. I would never build a home without the Kenmore team in my corner. So
we
thank Travis and Melissa. Number one, we thank them for their business, and we thank them for that testimonial. It was fantastic. And so then it kind of keyed me to think. A lot of people go into that process sometimes, and they don't think about using an agent on that end of it. They might interact with the builder directly at first. They might be trying to make those decisions. So we kind of went through and put together some of the reasons of why you would consider hiring a buyer's agent to represent you in that transaction. And the very first one that comes into play, and we do get this question all the time, we'll sit down with somebody and they'll be, hey, what builders are the good builders in town? I mean, Mike, you've probably even heard this on a financing side.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pretty regular question. You know, and it's funny because it depends on if you're looking to buy a house in a certain specific area that is dominated by subdivisions, or if you're looking to build a custom home. You know, custom home, hey, it's wide open. You know, you can find a builder, you can build whatever house you want on the land, but there's a lot more production builders here in town. I'm involved with the Parade of Homes, and we've got a lot of great builders. And so what I normally say is, you know, get your agent and go tour as many properties as you can, model homes and different things. And, you know, it's that combination of price, location, builder quality is going to drive you to a certain builder.
Well, you're exactly right. And Mike, I mean, I should have had you help me prepare for the show. I mean, that's a perfect point. And that's really what you're doing, is you're getting to know the personality of your clients when you're an agent and you sit down with them. And then we also start to prioritize what's most important for you. Is it a certain school district that you're trying to get into? Is it a certain size of home that you need? Is it quality of construction that is important to you for longevity? And so we really sit down and we go through that process. And by the time we get through those questions and have a couple meetings with the clients, and then Mike just really hit the nail on the head, and that was going and touring some of these projects. Say, okay, here's, you know, based upon what we talked about in our first couple meetings, here's the three or four builders that I think you should consider. And then we'll go out and we'll tour a couple homes with those clients and match up those needs and those personalities with the right builders. And so our buyer's agents that specialize in this and work new construction, they spend a lot of time with those builders, knowing what's available, knowing what lots are available, and then helping the client make a good decision based upon that. So, because it can be overwhelming if you're out there doing it yourself, and this is a huge transaction, and it's a lot different when we've gone through that transaction hundreds of times, because we can compare with what's normal and what should be done versus what you might be told if you're not represented. The second thing that I wrote down is that what happens in that situation is using a buyer's agent to represent you in that construction process, and that is having somebody go to bat for you. Because if you don't know what you don't know, it's really hard to make those decisions. If you think it should just be one way, and the builder's telling you that's the only way it's possible, if you've never been through that process before, you won't know what's normal and what the other options are unless you have somebody representing you. At the same time, and we're talking about the good and the bad, at the same time, it's also reassuring when the builder tells you something that might be perfectly typical. I mean, I want to represent this in a good light, and it's as much as about the good things that the builder do as it is versus any bad things that could possibly happen. A lot of times, you know, a builder will come and say, hey, permits are taking 8 weeks right now. It normally only takes 4. I'm really sorry about this. Well, a lot, we take those calls and you call your agent and say, hey, this is what I'm hearing from the builder. Is that true? And you're either going to say, well, geez, I just was working with two other builders and we got our permits in 2 weeks. So let me follow up on that and get back to you. Or it might be, hey, I'm doing this with two other builders and what you are being told is 100% what's happening. Everything's good. So a lot of times it's just the reassuring of that positive process that is just as important for making you feel good about the build that you're going through. And these things happen and come up. There's, I mean, just starting in the beginning, there is what happens if, you know, cabinets are discontinued from one manufacturer and you switch to another. Now maybe you're getting a product that wasn't the same as the product you saw before. You could have a regulation come through from the county. Maybe they're installing a new power transformer in an easement and your driveway can't have the same approach that it had before. I mean, these are just like two or three minor things that I've seen in the last month and a half, you know, from a list of 40 that we've probably seen and then thousands that we've seen over the years. And so it's stuff like that that comes up, that having somebody to go to bat for you, do that research, help you guide that process can make a big, big difference. Those are the first 2 points that I wrote down. Having a buyer's agent represent you in a new construction build process. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Mike Denslow at Home Street about some of the things to consider with new construction financing and what's going on there. In a lower inventory market, if you're considering new construction building, don't miss the second half of the show.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking about new construction representation. A lot of new subdivisions opening up. A lot of people taking advantage of some higher prices in the Tri-Cities, selling their first home, and going into a new construction build. And so as we go through that process, we definitely want to interview for the job of being your advisor and your agent. I've got a great buyer's agent team that works with a lot of clients in this realm. But first, a lot of times there's some key differences when we look at the financing of these types of projects. And Mike, what do you see in your world over there right now with new construction and lending?
Well, I got a question for you, and I want you to answer so everybody hears it. You've said hiring you guys to help with this. Who pays for that service if someone was to hire you to help find a new house?
Well, absolutely, and that's a great question. And in this instance, it is the builder. We'll actually go ahead and pay for that. Many of the builders in our area are set up, and they offer, you know, a very competitive commission. And in this instance, the seller pays that.
Okay.
So, you know, it's one of those weird dynamics where they're actually paying for you to have your own representation and protect you. So a lot of them offer the same type of cooperative commissions that other resale listings would offer. And so it's really a win-win. I mean, I can't think of a reason really not to do it when it's not costing you anything extra in that build process.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that people were clear with that.
You're absolutely right, because when I say it that way, it's like, oh man, how much is this going to cost me? And a lot of our clients ask that. And in this instance, that is a cost that the sellers pay.
So. Okay, great. All right, so financing. Yeah, I've done a lot of new construction financing for years. It's just something that I gravitated towards. Our office, it's about one out of every 4 to 5 transactions that we close is new construction. Isn't that just...
That's a big number. That's a lot.
Well, there's a lot still going on in Tri-Cities, and I think it's because we have some amazing extended lock programs. They get you locked in as soon as construction starts, and then you can float down in the last 60 days if rates have gotten better. And it just gives that peace of mind when you go to sleep. They're like, okay, I know what my worst case scenario rate is, and if it gets better while they're building it, then I can take advantage of that. You want to talk about taking some stress off, you know, while you're building a house. That's a big one there.
Well, Mike, can you bring up a good point? And I'll jump in here because I know there's some things you can and can't say on air, but I saw a certain publication earlier this week that had explained to me in the last 30 days, rates had increased almost 0.375, which was affecting buying power by $10,000 to $12,000. And so when you sign that contract and you're moving forward in a instance where we see rates trending up, now locking becomes a bigger discussion than I think you've had to have in the past.
Well, if rates are flat and you somehow have a crystal ball that says they're not going to do anything, then yeah, what's your motivation to lock in or really do anything but just sit there and watch your house be built? But there's truly no negative to getting in with us and getting the rate locked in, because if rates don't change, well then great, you know, you get that rate and everybody's happy. But what if they do go up? What if this happens and then all of a sudden your payment is $50, $100, $150 more than you were approved for in the beginning, and now you don't want that payment?
Yeah,
you know, it's a tough position. So education is the main thing that I do with clients. Get them in, go through all the numbers. Hey, if you buy 250 or 280 or 310, what do those numbers look like? What are the property taxes estimated to be on that new construction? Just everything so that you can process it and you can make an educated decision.
Mike, that's a great point on that new construction process for sure. And I know a lot of times too, people will come into our office and they'll be a little hesitant about managing that process because it's a little more difficult, right? Because you've got stages of the build and you're protecting the client. How does that happen in there?
Well, and the other thing is you want to get pre-approved in the beginning, and the house might take 2-3 months to get out of the ground, and then it's another 4 months to get done. So they want to know, well, you pre-approve us now, and then the house isn't going to be done for 7 or 8 months. How does that work? And we break all that down. I want them to see what that payment's going to be if rates go up an eighth or a quarter or a half.
Gotcha.
Because there's a certain amount that you can't control before you can lock in the rate. And so, you know, when you're building a new house, there's a lot of things of unknowns. And we try to take as much of that unknown stress away so that they're comfortable. Hey, let's go find the development. Let's find the builder. Let's find the style of house. Let's school district or, you know, whatever. There's a million things to worry about. We try to take that away from it.
That's a good process, Mike. And so, yes, if anybody is thinking about new construction or a new construction build, I would definitely encourage you to get a hold of Mike over at Home Street and look at what your options are. A few more points as to why you want to have a buyer's agent advising you in a new construction situation. The next thing that we had down, and that is helping you review your contract. No matter what you're doing, whether it's resale or new construction, there are terms that are going to come up in that contract. How much earnest money are you going to put down? At what point will that earnest money become non-refundable? Do they require a certain amount to be non-refundable? Is that typical for what you're seeing in the industry? So knowing what's in that contract and what you're facing there can be a big, big reason to have somebody in your corner.
And Lance, the other one I see sometimes is deposits towards upgrades.
Absolutely. And that can become a big issue along the way. And having somebody to bounce those ideas off of and then discuss the dangers or of that is important. And so someone might be asking the danger of an upgrade. Well, what would that be? And so that was, in fact, you led me right into, I'm skipping a point, but to my last point, I talked about those upgrades. And so a lot of times what can happen is maybe those upgrades require an additional deposit. If, you know, if you want a crystal fountain in the back patio, that's probably not something, if a builder, if you were to default for some reason and the builder had to resell the house and he has a $20,000 crystal fountain cemented in the back patio, the house probably isn't going to be worth any more because that's there. So he would require usually a substantial deposit, if not the whole amount, to install that prior to you closing on the home.
And that goes to appraisals too.
And Mike brings up a great point on the financing side, is not putting yourself in a position where you've over upgraded a house to the point where it doesn't appraise for the neighborhood. And so, and then if that does happen, you know, what type of options are you looking at? So there's a lot of this stuff to navigate as you go through the new construction build. Like I said, we want to be your advocate in those transactions. We do a lot of new construction. We have a lot of those builds going right now. Both our buyer's agent on the front end with negotiations, choices, and navigating, and then our closing department with the follow-up. We read some of those testimonials at the top of the show. They just do a fantastic job helping make sure that process goes smoother for their clients. So thank you for everybody that sent those testimonials in. Number one, we appreciate the kind words and the testimonial. And number two, I appreciate you giving me a good idea for the radio show. Mike, on the financing side, how can people get a hold of you at Home Street?
The direct line is 572-3651.
And if you ever need anything, go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot us a quick message, and we'll be right back here
next week on News Talk 870.